The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, SmackDown Review.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling to the Max WWE SmackDown Live review for August 1st, 2017. And I am your host, Sean Garmer, and here with me is Mr. Harry Broadhurst.
Good evening, Sean.
Well, let's hope the audio keeps working in good spirits here throughout this thing.
Yeah, if you knew what we had to go through in order to provide this show for you, I swear.
Technology. Anyway, so they had, of course, your double, I guess you can call it double main event or double big match show here for SmackDown. And for the most part, they delivered on that promise. They bookended the shows with both those matches, and SmackDown might have finally got back to being the SmackDown that we know and love, at least for this episode. And so we did not waste any time at all. The show pretty much kicked off with the United States Championship match, AJ Styles and Kevin Owens. It goes almost 17 minutes. They did do the picture-in-picture with the commercials here as well, so you could see some of the action going on. I always get distracted with the commercials because there's no sound, so it's not always the easiest to see.
Not to mention you kind of have to have eagle eyes because the in-screen action for what's going on SmackDown is so damn small, it's really difficult to pick it up.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's better than not having it, but it's really small.
Unless you have a really big TV, you're more or less screwed.
Yeah, exactly. I agree totally there. So, you had quite a few near falls in this. Just some really, really good back and forth action. There was a rough bump that kind of made things take a turn as Owens hits a bunch of super kicks. And then Styles counters the pop-up powerbomb and gets a roll-up cradle for the win. Later, it's shown that Owens had his shoulder up. So later on, after the commercial, he goes and meets with Shane and Daniel Bryan backstage. He's angry, of course, that the referee missed him having the shoulder up. And so he yells and screams that he wants a rematch at SummerSlam. And he says he wants a referee that's not going to fall down at the first breath of wind. Or pretty much that the ref's not going to get knocked out. And Daniel Bryan suggests that Shane McMahon be the referee. Of course, he has quite a few matches of experience, does Shane McMahon, in WWE lore. Kevin Owens, of course, is pissed because those two have an issue that dates back for a while on SmackDown, pretty much since Kevin Owens has been on SmackDown. And, yeah, so AJ Styles, Kevin Owens rematch with Shane McMahon as your special guest referee for SummerSlam.
Just mere does it seem like a continuation on the slow burn to get to Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon one-on-one? I mean, the match should be... As long as Shane stays more or less out of the way until the finish happens, because we know the finish at SummerSlam's not going down without Shane getting involved somehow. But as long as Shane stays out of the way until the finish, then I won't have any issues there. I will say this much. I was kind of surprised by the lack of continuity on SmackDown, because continuity is something SmackDown does really well. Baron Corbin put his hands on an official and got suspended for 2 weeks. Kevin Owens put his hands on an official tonight before they made the SummerSlam rematch, and pretty much neither Brian nor Shane said anything.
This is where we miss talking smack, right? Because that might have been rectified there. Here, this is a place where if you don't mention it on SmackDown, and unless they do happen to do some kind of thing on the .com, which probably won't happen, it's not going to happen. I also think that it might have been a, we're going to let him do it because he rightfully got wronged here, whereas Baron Corbin didn't.
Yeah, whereas Corbin popped the referee during Talking Smack while he was brawling with Sammy.
Yeah, a little bit different, I think, on that end. But still, just really enjoyed this match. Of course, you have two great guys in the ring, so you know they're going to deliver. But they made it feel big by just starting the show off with it, I thought, instead of having your talking segment and all that that you'll do.
Not to mention, I think these guys are kind of looking for singles match redemption after the rather lackluster performance given their standards at Battleground.
Yeah, this was much better. I wouldn't call it, you know, the great territory or whatever that their first match was, but still
I'd say higher standard. If we were talking star ratings, I'd say around 3.5 based on what we saw.
Yeah, that's where I had it. But you definitely, you should watch this, though, especially because, it sets up a match for something later down the line. Then after this, we get some tag team segments here, right after the other. The Usos do a New Day type entrance, and I really enjoyed this, just them kind of getting to show a little bit of character here, making fun of the New Day's like antics and what they normally do before a match, and they tell them to keep their ice creams and unicorns and socks, and then they get the crowd to sort of chant Usos rock, which I think that just proves the cry will chant anything if you given an opportunity there. But
if there is one thing wrestling has proven over the years, it's that people enjoy chanting stuff. I did like the closing line for the promo there. The thing that you kind of mentioned, that the New Day could keep all of the frivolities, the ice cream bars, the cereal, the socks, the whatever else that they have. The Usos would take back the tag titles, and then they'd steal their catchphrase, and that's when they went into Usos Rock. I did it.
Yeah.
Also, I thought that I think it was Jay. Jay's Big E impersonation was dead on.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's funny. I do like that they basically are telling them to keep all that because that's not who they are, right? They're hard and serious, and they're going to, you know, do their thing their way. So I'm totally fine with that.
They have no time for the New Day frivolities. They just want the belts back.
Yep. They're here to just be like, you know. It'd be interesting if it makes the New Day have to get serious. You think we see that? Or maybe they don't do the fun stuff?
I end up getting some kind of stipulated match between these two teams at SummerSlam. I honestly wouldn't be surprised to see them go into a tornado tag match with no DQs at SummerSlam.
That'd be great. I would love to see that. Let them just go at it. Be crazy.
Yeah, I mean, given the fact that the Battleground match was the best thing on Battleground because these guys went balls to the wall for about 15 minutes there, I'd imagine you give them 10 to 15 minutes with a no disqualification stipulation at SummerSlam. These four guys will steal the show again.
Very true. I mean, it's going to be hard to top what they did at Battleground, but if there's two teams that can do it, certainly. They're up to the task there.
If you remember when they did Raw versus SmackDown last year at Survivor Series, it was the interactions of these two teams that had a lot of people excited about a potential series of matches between them down the line. And sure enough, that's what we ended up getting with the Superstar Shakeup.
Well, you knew that it eventually had to happen. I mean, they don't have that many tag teams as it is, and they're all going to wind up facing each other.
What few tag teams they do have, they're breaking up.
Yeah, or they're putting single stars together. So, you know, it is what it is. That's how Vince does things. So we do have I love this because I am a huge fan of Twin Peaks. The new series has been very much Twin Peaks in so many ways. But so they advertise before the break that they are going to basically spoof Twin Peaks, calling it Fashion Peaks. They have Tyler Breeze show us the board. And the board has a Firewalk with Knee reference, which is the prequel to the entire series. It's like a two-hour movie that kind of sets everything up that was actually made after the first series, ironically. What's ties into wrestling, of course, is Kane having the Firewalk with Knee, which also kind of goes along with his theme song from the Forcible Entry, I think. Sounds like
Slow Chemical by Finger 11.
Yes, that. I always liked that theme song. I was once he got that, I wanted to be my favorite.
Likewise, especially back in it would have been around 2002, 2003 that he was using Slow Chemical.
Was such a really good song, but. Go ahead.
You love this segment. Well, you're about to kind of explain more about it there. I was going to say here, you love this segment, so I'm going to go and let you be the one to describe this and everything here, because frankly, the references are over my head. I've never seen the show.
Yeah, they do very well with the references, so I give them a lot of credit for that. It shows that they watch the show. That's very much appreciative. It's also just I just like the whole storyline of them, like, continuing this on week after week and having ways to tie it into other things. These two are so good. I know that WWE is cutting back on original content on the network, but jeez, how good would it be if they had like a 15-minute show on the network? Go ahead.
If Edge and Christian's second season doesn't happen, and rumors are that it's not, it would probably be cheaper to have them produce this green screen content with Dango and Breeze, and you can do pretty much the same stuff you would do with like an Edge and Christian with these two.
Yeah, and it's shorter, and probably wouldn't have to pay so many people to come in and, you know, do guest spots and all that kind of stuff. So
They've already got two built-in co-stars in Connor and Victor.
Yeah. That's very true. Plus, they can put up almost anyone else on the wall, too. So, they also had a Bella's Twin Peaks reference, which that's just them making fun of them being twins. And also, you know, Nikki having big boobs. What was the other part of the world? The Fandango missing thing is meant to be a spoof off of the Laura Palmer picture from Twin Peaks. There's another one that I can't place right this second. But
the other reference
go ahead.
The other reference on the board was Tony Chimmel's picture.
What did it say for?
I don't remember. It was only shown for like 30. It was only shown for like 10 seconds.
So basically, you have Breeze in the suit, like you would have Agent Cooper wear, and he's talking into the recorder, and it's the same name as the lady from Twin Peaks, which you never see. It's just him talking to the recorder, and it's named Diane. And then he's talking about how he thinks there's something happening. Fandango got kidnapped. In Twin Peaks, the woman died, and that sets up the whole premise of the show. So it's a, obviously they can't go that route because Fandango's still alive. But then...
This isn't Lucha Underground. No one's allowed to die.
Yeah, they're not going to have somebody eating somebody's head off. And, right. So... then they have Breeze basically talk about how he thinks it might be extraterrestrial or whatever. All of a sudden, the lights go out. Fandango comes in. They also did a spoof on the intro to Twin Peaks as well. I should mention that. But they have Fandango come back as the midget. But he's obviously not a midget here, and he's speaking in a weird dialect like the guy does on the show. And then you have the laughing that happens in the Black Lodge from the Ascension. And, of course, nobody really speaks that much in the Black Lodge, so Breezango just acting crazy, that was funny. Fandango played that up to a T. It's so good, like, just so good. All the stuff there, and just, again, those two nailed it. They've nailed every single one of these spoofs that they've done. It's so much fun just to watch them, and it just brings up a little bit of levity to SmackDown. Like, you know, it's not in the same vein as the Broken Hardy stuff, that they kind of took that a little bit too super serious at times. This is good, and it doesn't have to be that lengthy. And what did you not knowing anything from the show? Did you like the segment still?
I mean, I'm obviously very entertained by what Tyler Breeze and Fandango are putting out there. I've been very entertained by it, and I wasn't a huge fan of the X Files, but I thought the Fashion Files were hilarious. So, I mean, given their ability to work with whatever type of content they're given, I don't have any issues at all with the segments they're producing. I'd eventually like to see them have it pay off in the ring down the road. The question of to that will be when and where will they have time to do it, because I don't think they'll have time to do it at SummerSlam.
Yeah, we still don't know who destroyed their office or whatever, so that's something we'll eventually find out, I guess.
Did you get the maple syrup on the logs reference, because that was completely lost on me?
Shoot.
I think it was maple syrup. It might not have been. I don't know.
Oh, that was because Agent Cooper loves coffee is a big thing in that show, and Agent Cooper loves coffee. And then there are many scenes that take place at a diner, and you have like maple syrup gets poured on there, and it's things are seen in there in the maple syrup or whatever. It's yeah. Twin Peaks is kind of like X-Files before X-Files existed. So after this with the Fashion Peak 7, there's really nowhere to go from here. So you get Sami Zayn and Aiden English. Aiden English actually gets the crowd to chant "You suck" at him, so perhaps at least the singing part is working. And then this match lasts about a couple minutes. It's another sort of... It's there to have English win by roll-up to make the other guy look bad, you know, make Sami Zayn look bad here. And then you have Maria and Mike Kanellis arrive to sort of make fun of Sami Zayn losing while also tying it into their gimmick of loving each other somehow.
I love Aiden English's character. I'm a huge fan of Sami Zayn. I've been probably more impressed than most by Mike Bennett, from what I've seen of him. That being said, I don't think this segment really did anybody any favors, because English flukes a victory, Sami looks dumb in defeat, and Mike and Maria cut arguably the worst promo that they've done since they've returned to the company.
The promo was so short, it's like... You know,
this one was swing and a miss for me.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was kind of just there.
I love Aiden English's character, though. The Drama King thing, he was doing this down in NXT, and it was fantastic there. And I thought even when he was doing it in NXT, it's something that would translate to the main roster. And sure enough, fans are starting to interact with the character on the main roster, and I'm glad to see that they're not just sitting on their hands. Like a good.
It's so funny, like, how dumb characters get over on the main roster, but then the ones that you really think, oh my god, this is going to take off like crazy, they don't. Like, look at Elias, you know, Elias.
Make that comparison. I was going to say that the fact is that the Aiden English Drama King character is hitting like gangbusters on SmackDown, and Elias can barely get a reaction on Raw now. I was in the arena for Raw on Monday night, and the crowd was dead silent for the vast majority of Elias versus Kalisto, and Elias is from Pittsburgh.
I'm talking about, like, for the singing thing, did they react, though?
Not really, because you couldn't hear a damn word he was saying.
Oh, well, it seems like they don't care about his matches, but they'll sort of react to him doing the song thing.
Maybe
which seems to be the same thing for Aiden English.
Maybe it's a case of they're mic'd up better for home audio than they are for in-arena audio, but the vast majority, I know me and a lot of the people sitting around me could not hear what Elias was saying on Monday night.
That's probably what it is they are mic'd up better for on TV.
It's possible that the lack of reaction during the songs for some of these guys is the fact that the crowd can't hear them.
Yeah, maybe WWE needs to go back and figure that out. You know, you'd think that somebody would go back and watch. But the problem is, if you're watching on TV, you don't hear that problem. So that means they'd have to actually listen to the people that were in the audience, and do they do that?
Or they'd have to do something like they used to do, where they would send out producers to stand in the crowds during the shows.
I'm surprised they still don't do that.
I know that, and I find myself constantly mentioning the show, but Pritchard talks about it all the time, about the fact that he would go out into the crowds and stand amongst the people to see what they were talking about during the course of a show, to see what hit and what missed with them.
Well, you know.
You know.
That's back in the day. It sort of makes more sense. Now they don't really want to listen to that audience because they'll think it's the Smarks or something. But. So they have your women's segment here, which, you know, a lot of people complained about how Raw really didn't have the women use much. SmackDown did not either. This was not a show for the women on this one. They get a 5-minute match here between Naomi and Becky Lynch against Carmella and Natalya. You know, I thought this was, again, fine for what it was. Naomi doing the submission and then making Carmella tap kind of goes along with their little storyline. Of, well, okay, you can surprise me all you want, but I'm still going to kick your ass when it comes to in here. And Carmella also got overzealous and tagged herself in from Natalya, which didn't help her either. So, anything to say about the women here?
It's an indifferent match for me as well. It was just kind of there. Honestly, it was more or less background noise for me for tonight because I didn't have any real interest in it. I love Becky Lynch. I'm a big fan of Natalya. I think Carmella's tremendously improved since she's come up to the main roster. Naomi as champion doesn't do a whole lot for me, and I've kind of talked about the reasons why that is in the past. I don't know if I don't trust her. I don't trust her to stay healthy. I don't trust her to be able to carry the division because, in my opinion, there are better options to carry the women's division on SmackDown right now.
Yeah, I would agree. It's not just that. It's like, you know, every time we have a pay-per-view, it's Naomi's not defending the title. She talks a big game, but then it's just kind of like, all right, doing a lot of talking.
It was impressively done tonight that she was able to counter the code of silence into the motorcycle clutch. I will give her credit for that.
I will agree there.
That move needs a name. That move needs something catchy. That move needs something that the fans can rally behind and start making signs for and stuff that they can show, because everybody knows how much Kevin Dunn likes showing people's reactions and signs during the ends of matches.
Speaking of signs, did you catch for the Rusev and Chad Gable match, there was a sign that read, "Go Ethnic Bad Guy," because that's what you have here.
I did not see that, but that's hilarious.
That's what you have here for Rusev. I should mention that Jinder Mahal also gets an interview here before this match, but they really should have done it before the main event.
They did show him in his suite before the main event, so at least they had him on screen right before the number one contenders match.
And he does mention that in the promo. He says that he doesn't really care who wins. He's basically asked if he has a preference. Says he doesn't care, and it doesn't matter because he's going to be champion when he walks out of SummerSlam. All he gets when he walks down the street is xenophobia, and, well, he's just going to keep defeating their heroes and staying WWE champion. No one is going to beat him, pretty much. Chad Gable actually has a good match here with Rusev. You know, just two guys that can work, put him out there, and, hey, you get something like this. So, Gable actually taps out to the accolade. I'm glad that Rusev actually won, because, man, he really needed one after this thing with Cena at Battleground was just the drizzling shits. And then we find out the reason that Rusev won is because he goes from one patriotic guy to the next one in Randy Orton.
I don't know if I would call Orton patriotic.
They tried to make him be.
Yeah, and the U.S. military pitched a bitch about it once it was revealed that Orton went AWOL when he was serving.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that they're trying to sort of make him let's take out the anti-American folks. Rusev talks a whole bunch of Bulgarian or Russian here, which we normally don't really see him do a lot. They're really pushing the whole foreigner thing so that, you know, you'll chant for Randy and all this. It's just, I don't know. I'm just not really enthused by this feud.
That RKO was not out of nowhere. I saw that RKO coming a mile away.
I think everybody could have seen that RKO coming a mile away. I'm not really enthused by this feud at all.
I look forward to the match because I think the two of them could have a really good match. And I actually have a very, very bold statement to make right here. Rusev might be the most underrated guy in the WWE. And I'm talking in the entirety of the WWE, not just SmackDown, but SmackDown, Raw, NXT, whatever you want to call it. He might be the most underrated guy in the company. He can work. He can talk. He has a defined character. He has charisma out his yin-yang.
Woo!
He puts Shawn to sleep.
You like those yin-yangs, huh? I think you're right about that. Rusev is, if you're going to talk about total package, there's not a lot of guys that I would call. I mean, you know, because Cesaro is still lacking in the talking segment of that. You have other guys that either have one or the other, but Rusev has everything. He's shown it on multiple occasions. It's why him and Lana worked well together. They took Lana away, and he's still having to kind of recover from that. He did well for himself.
As I used to tell Rick on a regular basis, take the fish.
That cold fish.
Yes, the actual dead fish. The fish market fish.
So we find out who the number one contender will be at SummerSlam to face Jinder Mahal with this quote-unquote dream match between John Cena and Shinsuke Nakamura. It goes almost 14 minutes. John Cena and Shinsuke have a great match here. Look, you can say what you want about John Cena, but he comes out here and he works his butt off against guys. Shinsuke did a lot of his normal stuff. I love the counter of the Kinshasa into an STF. Shinsuke got the kick out of the AA. The reverse exploder, I don't know if that was a Cena deciding, let me just take it hard, or he doesn't flip over the whole way, or Nakamura doesn't give him enough lift to flip over, but every other guy is taking that correctly, so this is not a Styles Clash situation. Cena's done this before, though, where he takes a move wrong. It's not the first time, won't be the last. Credit to him at the end, for you can visibly see Shinsuke say, I'm sorry to him, and he says, don't be sorry. Great match, and Shinsuke Nakamura wins with the Kinshasa. Clean in the middle of the ring.
Three simple words. That exploder, though. Oh, boy.
Yeah, you could see the referee asking Cena if he could move his hands and stuff afterwards.
Okay. As I've said before, because me and Patrick have kind of had this conversation on Wrestling Unwrapped before, if you're one of those fans that is actually actively rooting for participants to get injured, you're an asshole.
I agree.
I was genuinely concerned when Cena came down on that reverse exploder, that inverted exploder suplex there, because he came down straight on the back of his dome.
Yeah, on the back of his dome, on his neck. I mean, you're worried for him and you're worried for Nakamura because it's like, oh my god, you put the man out of action. Talk about the wrath that's going to come down on you.
That being said, though, the match itself was really good. And not only did Nakamura get to kick out of an attitude adjustment, he also got to counter the rolling attitude adjustments that put away AJ Styles at Royal Rumble this year.
Yeah.
Why are you so tired over there? It was a good show. Come on, man. We can do it.
I worked a freaking 9-hour shift, and I got home right as SmackDown was starting. So, I'm tired. That's just how it is. This match was great, honestly. It has nothing to do with the match. It's just I'm tired.
As I was saying, though, Nakamura looks even better having kicked out of the AJ Killer at Rumble this year. Or having countered the AJ Killer at Rumble this year, the rolling attitude adjustments.
Yeah, I mean, for the people like you that remember that kind of thing, that's pretty awesome. I think just kicking out of the AA means he's not just some dude. I mean, obviously a lot of people kick out of the AA, so, you know, you make that what you will, but yuck, he just does one finisher. There's no kicking out of the Kinshasa. They protected it. And John Cena he loses to him clean. And then he raises his hand after the match. Baron Corbin, now, on the network, they have Baron Corbin come out to try to attack Nakamura. Or he does, anyway. But John Cena comes in and makes a save. And then he does an AA to Corbin through the table. Ouch, Baron.
It looked like Corbin kind of hit the back of his head on that announce table, because I don't know if you noticed it or not. When that table collapsed, the one part of the frame did not fall down, and it looked like Corbin smacked the back of his head on it as he was coming down.
Oh, yeah. You could see Corbin just... That didn't feel good at all. Look, I like the story of Cena sort of having so much respect for him. He comes in and makes the save and everything. And maybe it sets up now Cena and Corbin, because they also need a feud, I guess. But Nakamura facing Jinder. You know, a lot of people thought that Cena wouldn't be the guy to... There was a lot of talk now coming out that Cena wouldn't beat Jinder, but I almost feel like you can't... I don't know, with Nakamura, that doesn't play right, that whole let's have him lose because of the Singh brothers getting involved and all that kind of stuff, you know? It's weird with him.
I don't know that necessarily he loses or not. I mean, we know Nakamura's just lost in the WWE, came to Mahal at a house show. That being said, rather that was a test run for what they're going to be doing between these two at SummerSlam will be the main question for me. Do I think that Mahal's going to lose this? Do I think that Nakamura's going to lose to Mahal at SummerSlam? No. But at the same time, I don't know if I see him walking out with the title either.
Yeah, it'd be hard for me to think he walks out with the title. I mean, they are resetting things, it seems like, after SummerSlam. So perhaps you have Shinsuke have that run just to have a different feeling going into post-SummerSlam SmackDown. But, man, this is one of those that's difficult to call. I think also just... I feel like Nakamura, even though he did beat Cena and everything... I just kind of want to do a little bit more for you, just give him the title. And I know these title runs don't mean as much as they used to, especially with the brand being split and all, but that's just my feeling on it.
Really hard to argue with what we got, though.
No, I'm not arguing with that at all. You set up... You know, you're continued the Naomi Natalya with Carmella involved as the Money in the Bank person. You continue Sami Zayn and Kanellis and whatever else. You know, you set up your main title match. You set up the U.S. title match. You set up the tag title match. All your title matches are now set for the SmackDown side of things. And it looks like you might get Cena Corbin. So, how do you feel about the overall show rating for SmackDown?
Well, I said last week that I had Raw and SmackDown on about equal playing fields. I don't think there was any question that overall start to finish SmackDown this week was the better show. I gave Raw a 6, but a lot of that had to do with the fact that I had the live experience as well, and I think that elevates it here. I would say SmackDown this week was a solid 8.
I'll go 7.5. But, man, this definitely felt like a wrestling show. You had the opening and ending have about near 15-minute matches for both. Well, one that went over and one that went slightly under. Two matches that you really should check out. Plus, you got the Gable and Rusev as well. That was good. Fashion Files was funny. Some of the other stuff was kind of just okay. But for us, 2 hours, that was more than solid. Well worth your time to watch this SmackDown. And yeah, I love the fact that we got SmackDown back to the way it was, where it's outdoing Raw. Anything else to add?
No, definitely a step in the right direction. A pair of SmackDowns that are a step in the right direction, given how disappointing I think a lot of people found Battleground to be. The build to SmackDown for SummerSlam so far has been top-notch.
I think it helps, too, that outside of the main title, you're kind of just continuing feuds, and you're continuing feuds in a really good way. You agree with that? Like, you like the way they're building these up?
Yeah, and you remember what I said when we were kind of discussing Battleground when we did our original SmackDown review together, that I think that SmackDown's better at episodic television than they are at pay-per-views? These last two weeks have done nothing but prove to me how exactly accurate that statement was.
Oh, yeah, and I like the fact that we can have different shows from SmackDown. It's not just one kind of show. These 2 weeks are a microcosm of that. You got more story, I feel like, in the the previous show, and this one was much more about the in-ring action, and I like that. I like that you can have the variety. All right, so if, unless you have anything else you want to say, well, that's going to do it for us. Talking SmackDown this week, we are one more. We are now fully into August, and we are, two or three weeks away from SummerSlam at this point. Things are charging along for that show. Of course, if you enjoyed what you heard here, let us know. You can hit that subscribe button, whether it's at Wrestling to the Max, where you get all of our Wrestling to the Max stuff, or just the WTO Network, where you get everything that we do, including Harry's Wrestling and Rap show, which they did two episodes this week.
Spoiler! Spoiler! They don't need to know it was pre-tape. Yeah, technically this Sunday's episode is a pre-tape. Unfortunately, Patrick has a charity event on Monday, and the dinner with the pairings drawings for the golf outing that he's doing is Sunday night, so we pre-taped Sunday's episode. It'll be released sometime later this week.
See? That's always... It's nice to let people know that they can look forward to two Wrestling Unwraps, because you guys do such a good job that, you know, your listeners will be happy to get two episodes from you. So, go ahead.
We covered PWG's DDT 4 2015, which is this Sunday's episode, and then the next Sunday's episode, the one that is pre-recorded, is the beginning of our August attack on August of 1998, where we handle ECW's Heat Wave. Still to come in August for us, we're going to handle WCW's Road Wild 98, as well as the Highway to Hell SummerSlam as well.
Wow, see, you have a big slate ahead for Wrestling and Rap. Going to be fun to listen to those shows. Of course, always check out our dear friend Robert Taylor doing the MMA to the Max. He does a wonderful job with his cousin Joe Hudson there. And, of course... Just keep listening and help us out. Go to W2Net.com to read all that we do. And until next week, we talk more SmackDown. See you later.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.